Listen up, Slappies. That's right. The Last Outlaw. Double J, Jeff Jarrett here. That's right. That's J-E-double-F. J-A-double-R-E-double-T. That's Double J, Jeff Jarrett. The world's greatest singer. The world's greatest entertainer. And you absolutely know the world's greatest wrestler. And at this time, I'd like to welcome you, that's right, to the Kickin' Out Podcast. And it's hosted by none other than three absolutely diehard AEW fans. That's right. It's Tanner Lee. It's Austin Shepherd, and it's Paul Zartman. Folks, buckle up. It's going to be a hell of an episode. And oh, I've got one last thing to say. What on all you folks, choke on that, you bunch of slap nuts.
One, two, kicking out yet a brand new episode of the Kicking Out Podcast. It is Sunday night. It's August 9th, 2026. We're just a few weeks away from AEW All in London. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Austin Shepherd, main event Shep in the house. And Shep, no workhorse tonight.
Yeah, I mean, here's my shock face. I think we're 21 days.
21 days, three weeks.
3 weeks to the nut. Let's go. I'm pumped.
It's good.
It's shaping up to be like I normally get excited about AEW pay-per-views. Okay, obviously it's what we do. But for some reason, this one's got a little bit of a buzz to me where like I'm like, let's go. Like, let's hurry this shit along. I'm ready for it now. Maybe a little bit has to do with the main event. Okay, we'll obviously talk about that later. But I'm ready. I'm ready for this thing to happen now.
Ready to rock and roll. We got a couple weeks though to build the rest of the card. It's gonna be. We're rolling, man. It's AEW's mania season, if you will. But no workhorse today, but that's all right. No, Paul, because we do have two special guests joining us, two friends of mine that have had me over on the Turnbuckle Tavern, and that is Chad Smith and Chad Sneed. Fellas, what's going on?
What's happening, man? It's, nice to be on KOP.
Yeah, man.
It's a long time coming.
Thanks for having us, dude. I'm stoked to be here with two fellow sickos. I mean, let's go, man. What's better than talking to AEW?
Yes, exactly. We have two fellow sickos with two fellow sickos in the house. Shep's got his hand up for some reason. I don't know.
He said what's better than talking about AEW. I said making fun of the Fed.
If you throw that out there, man, we're going to bite on that bone every time. We love burying the Fed.
Yeah. I would say we're pretty professional Fed barriers. We love to do it. It's probably
the first 20 minutes of every episode is us finding something to bitch and moan about the Fed and TKO and that hot mess going on over there.
Well, they put that on a silver platter for you every week.
Oh, it's so exactly. Easy. It's low hanging fruit for sure.
There you go.
I mean, I feel like I gotta play this then.
Enjoying the show. Whole part of the show, man.
Uncle Paul coming through.
Hey, and let's just go right into it. How much bullshit is it that you have Dana White announce your next Royal Rumble location? Like, who gives a like, don't get me wrong. If you're a UFC fan, good for you. Dana White has done a hell of a job with that company over the last 20 years. But what the hell does Dana White have any connection with a professional wrestling fan?
None.
Absolutely none.
It's like, dude, ever since, not to make this into a Bury the Fed podcast for you guys, but like, everything they're doing lately with all the leaning on, and this is TKO in a nutshell, you know, bringing in all of these celebrities, like they had the boxer come out in the horrific Danhausen sing-along segment that was just next level atrocious. But all of the leaning on star power outside of the wrestling world, like I like I like wrestlers, man. I like my wrestlers. I don't like outsiders coming in and making a mockery of what we all love.
100% agree.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me appreciate AEW that much more that we have this alternative out there.
100%.
That we can watch, because yeah, if we didn't, I don't know where my fandom would be. Let's put it that way. But we
I'm right there with you, man. I say it all the time. We say it on the show all the time. It's like, we grew up on WWE. We grew up on WCW. Like, we have a love for that, from the golden era of Hogan and Ultimate Warrior and Rick Rude and all those guys throughout the Attitude Era. But my disdain for the Fed is, it's no longer the Fed that we love, man. TKO, it is not what we love. So thank God, because if this was all we had and we didn't have All Elite Wrestling to offer that alternative, I don't know if I'd be watching wrestling every week anymore.
Yep.
I mean, I 100% agree with you. I obviously was a diehard during the Attitude Era, the Monday Night Wars. And I'll be honest, I leaned towards WCW during the Monday Night Wars.
Same.
You know? And then I honestly quit watching in the mid to early 2000s. And when AEW came around, I was already enjoying ROH. I was already enjoying this run that Cody was doing on the indies, plus ROH. It made me fall in love with New Japan. I started following New Japan and streaming New Japan out of nowhere, you know. And I hadn't watched wrestling in 10, 15 years. And then all of a sudden, they obviously created this company. It was just like, oh, I'm back.
Oh, you know? Yeah. I'll never forget the Being the – because I was following Being the Elite, because I had a coworker who was real heavy in the Being the Elite. And when they did that little – everybody remembers in AEW lore that episode where they turned their phones around and it said Double or Nothing, and everyone's like, huh? And then Hangman's like, mine says something different. And they flip around the AEW logo, and it's like, let's go. Off to the races. Let's go.
Yeah, for me, man, I was not in 2019, 2018. I just wasn't really watching a whole lot. I always kind of watched peripherally, but man, when I got tickets to Double or Nothing, I got excited again. And then going to Double or Nothing, like, I was back, and I knew at that point, man, it was going to be AEW or nothing for me.
Yep, and that's why you guys are perfect guests tonight, right here on the pod, to chop up some AEW talk, and we got a lot of fun stuff to go over. Grand Slam was a heck of a dynamite Wednesday night, and we got a comment here on YouTube from one of our loyal viewers over in Hungary, at KWYJIBO_, Mexican venue, and especially the crowd was sensational. Yeah, they earned a pay-per-view, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
I mean, that crowd, I mean, the Mexican crowd is just next level. And anytime they go there, like, ever since they started kind of going south of the border, it's always been a fire crowd. The energy is incredible. And the Arena Mexico vibe, I don't know if it's the steps coming in, but there's just, it always has a elevated, special feeling for a Dynamite.
One thing that, like, so they had the show Tuesday night, which streamed on my AEW, that CMLL show.
Yep.
One thing I loved is they did not bring in the AEW stage for Wednesday night. They kept the traditional CMLL stage with the steps. So you bring the steps. I think that gave it even a more Mexico feel, because we didn't have our normal stage, which, again, I enjoyed that.
And Sneed, you brought it up on the show last week. That ring looked like a Mexico ring too, because that shit had give. It looked hard as a rock.
Dude, they taking bumps on there. When some of the bumps that they took, I was just, I mean, there's no way they didn't feel every single bit of that.
Not a lot of back bumps going on during I mean, they were picking and choosing their spots.
Yeah, that's a good point you guys brought up. I mean, there's, of course, an apron spot's always an apron spot, right? The hardest part of the ring, but especially down there on that ring, a little cringy. Like, oh, hope he's okay.
Yeah.
Man.
But I mean, when you know, when you watch a regular Dynamite at a regular venue in the regular ring, like they're running around, they got some bounce to it. There ain't no bounce in that ring, man.
No
bounce.
No, we had a lot of talking points coming out of Wednesday night. I mean, the return of MJF, which I was figuring we were going to get a return at some point before All In. This was perfectly well done. Coming back, attacking Andrade after Andrade won his match, and then declaring, having the triple B. So he is not accepting that he lost to Kenny. I love that. And then declaring or getting himself in a match this upcoming Wednesday night, which we found out is going to be a three-way match with him and Nick Wayne. And who's the third in that one?
Who was the third?
I don't know why it's slipping my mind.
I'm blanking.
That's why I get. Normally, that's why we have Tanner to answer these.
Speedball.
That's going to be a killer match.
Yeah, it's going to be a great match. But so you know, this could be 2 years in a row. He's going to be in the number one contender, if you want to call it, battle royale at All In. So I was trying to think. I couldn't remember what he did last year. And then I'm like, oh yeah, he won that, and then he cashed it in against Hangman at Forbidden Door right after, when they ran Forbidden Door over in England last year. Since All In was in Texas. So, yeah.
Yeah. I love the MJF. I love that he got his ring back, his Dynamite Diamond ring. That was cool. The belt thing is very intriguing for me. Like the fact that he brought Triple B out with him, because we've only seen that one other time, and that's when Mr. Phil, you know, Pepsi Phil brought the belt out and spray painted the X on it. So I'm wondering, like, is this going, are they kind of maybe rehashing what they plan to do with that whole storyline here of a champion saying they're the rightful champion? Cause I don't think Phil got to see that through. Punk didn't get to really see that storyline through. And it's just intriguing. We've never really seen them lean into a guy bringing his own title out and claiming I'm the rightful champion. And it makes your mind go to, are we going to get an Ospreay MJF feud in the fall? Is that going to be kind of the full gear? My mind's always going like, where are we heading? What does this mean?
Yep, I'm right there with you, Chad, because we've seen Ospreay and MJF feud, but it was for the international title and the American title for a month. That was called that. Thank God Tony decided not to actually keep that as a title, because we have too many titles anyways. But we've never seen them in a feud for the world title. So I think you're on to something there. Unless Kenny's victorious at All In, they always could do that to swerve us. I don't think so, but they could.
I think the fans would revolt, dude.
I think you're right.
Everyone has been clamoring for an Ospreay world title run. And I do think they've waited. I haven't been against them not putting it on him. I think it's the right time, though. Right now is the time. He's in Wembley. We don't know. You know, have they announced where All In is next year?
Not yet.
Because it looks like they're doing like an every other year thing if they're following the trend. So I don't know if you got to wait to coronate him at an All In like 2 years from now, I think fans are going to flip shit.
Yeah. You don't want to wait too long or you miss the target. And you're not going to have this scenario ever again where this is probably Kenny's last time he holds the title. Everybody loves Kenny, and you know, with this feud, Kenny and Ospreay going into Wembley, you're not going to have that.
I will say, I do think, even though we all are picking Ospreay to win, I feel like any sicko out there tapped in, we know Ospreay's going to win, but I do think it is on Tony Khan to put as much doubt in our head over the next 3 weeks. Where when we go in, there is that little voice in the back of our head, like, maybe he can do it. That is going to be the good booking. If they can make us give 30 to 40% of ourselves over to the fact that Kenny could retain, That's going to be good storytelling. I don't know what he can do to make us think that's going to happen, though.
I know. Yep.
Well, there's one thing I hope he doesn't do and turns it into a triple threat.
Oh God, don't do that. Oh, yeah. No, don't
do that. I think with MJF kind of saying he's going for the battle royal, I think that eliminated that.
Yeah.
That's your hope.
I hope so. I hope so. Yeah. Because you know what we talk about, you know what we say about triple threats?
Lazy booking.
Lazy booking.
It is. It almost never is the right move. I mean, every once in a blue moon, maybe you can pull one out, but
right.
And if you agree with us, KOP Nation, go to shopkop.com and buy that shirt.
Yeah. Yep. But I liked what you said, Chad, on your guys' flagship show. I was listening on Friday, and you said when MJF's on the show, not that Dynamite's bad necessarily when he's off of it, but when he's on the show, it just elevates it that much more.
Oh, 100%. I mean, to put all my chips on the table, he's my favorite guy. I mean, I love Ospreay. I love Omega. I love the entire main event scene, Hangman. But to me, there is, and I'm not just talking AEW, I think the best wrestler right now with everything, the mic, I think he's proven that his matches are incredible. I mean, the Iron Man against Brian, he's countless matches. I think he's the best wrestler, the best total package wrestler in the game right now. And when he's out there, there is just, you can see it in the way the crowd reacts to him, man. Like, I know there's certain people that say the crowd want to cheer him. They do, but he does such a good job of consistently being the absolute biggest prick in pro wrestling to get those boos. He's must-see segment. You know, they have a lot of guys I tune into, and you're happy to see them on screen. But when MJF has a running storyline on week-to-week television, I don't think there's anything better.
And I was watching Kayfabe Coffee on Thursday morning with JPJ, and there's nothing that makes me happier than a pissed off MJF promo.
Yeah.
There's nothing better.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
He was pulling out in this promo on Grand Slam. He was kind of pulling into his old bag of tricks for the hardcore fans when he leaned up on the rope. I was getting flashbacks of him calling Tony Khan a fucking mark when he's leaning over the ropes like that, spit and spittle flying out of his mouth. I'm like, this is the MJF we need to see heading into All In.
Yep. 100%. I think him, and then we're going to have a lot of other intriguing guys in that battle royal. We know Andrade's number one in that battle royal. So, you know, Ciampa's trying to get in there. I mean, you're going to have tons of top talent in there that don't have matches on the card. So,
yeah. You know, one thing I would like to see, because MJF's going for the number two spot.
Right.
And just one time, though, I would love to see them do it where he gets the number two spot and comes in there and just ends the match immediately.
Yeah, they need to do that. They do.
Pins
at least once.
It.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, we talk about it with the time limits. There needs to be a match where, like you said, Steed, where it ends with the first two guys. That way we know, hey, this is possible. We might not get the gauntlet aspect of it with different guys coming in. I don't know if it's this match that we would do that on, but they need to, in booking, let us know, like, hey, man, I think it puts an emphasis on getting the number one or number two spot, because right now we've had guys fight to get those first two spots, but we haven't seen them, how important it is to get those spots. And I think until someone in the number one or number two spot wins before the third guy comes in, the importance of those spots, we don't feel it like we could if they would book the number one guy to just win the match outright. I think that's more of like a Dynamite situation. I'm not sure you'd do that on a big time pay-per-view, but still, yeah, it's a ballsy booking move.
I agree. Those got to happen eventually. It has to somewhere.
Yeah.
Just for the intrigue and like, oh, I got to make sure I'm paying attention at the beginning and not going to, you know, get a snack or whatever. Cause oh, more guys are going to be coming in. Yeah. You got to pull the trigger. Sometime.
They did the same thing with Darby when he beat MJF for the world title on Dynamite.
True.
I thought that was just an important way for Tony Khan to be like, hey, sometimes the world title will be changed on a Dynamite. So you have to watch every week.
Yep. Yep. And when we've seen that more across all professional wrestling, I'd say this year than we have in the last 5 years or so, big title changes on regular TV and not just pay-per-views. So,
Although that it might cut an hour out of the pay-per-view. We go from 5 hours to four.
That's very true.
Well, heck, with this one starting at one, Tony might stretch his bad boy to six hours, still get done at seven.
Like we can start it at 1 o'clock. He's not going to end it. Like it's going to end at the same time it always does.
Every time.
We're running a 12-hour show. Let's go.
Oh man, but we were talking about Andrade a little bit, and you know, I was listening to your guys' show again the other day, and you were talking about Andrade, and it got me thinking back to when he showed up in AEW for like, I'll say, second time, because then he had a pause and then he came back for a third time. I wasn't excited about it. I'm like, here we go again. Same. You know, he didn't play ball the first time he was here. Why is Tony resigning him? I'm glad to sit here and eat crow. He's probably my favorite thing on the show week in and week out.
I think, man, right now, I mean, we've said it. Number one, I think it's the best work he's ever done in his career. And that's even including his NXT run, which I thought was fire. But we've never seen a more charismatic guy. And it just looks like he's having fun. It doesn't look like there's any pressure. I don't know if it's where him and Charlotte got divorced and he feels like a free man, because he's trotting out a lot of hot ladies with him now, almost like as a little dig at Charlotte. But man, I'm loving what he's doing. We had to suffer through that Hardy Family Office shit that he did. God. It was so bad. And it seems like a man who knows, like, hey, this is the last stop before I'm just a part of the roster on CMLL. Like, if I want to be on an American weekly televised wrestling, this is the last stop. And I think a lot of those guys that went over back to the Fed, they're having this wake up moment of maybe the freedom over there, I didn't take advantage of that. Because a lot of those dudes that took the mass exodus back from the Miros to the Malachis, I don't know if it really panned out the way they envisioned it to.
How you know.
I 100% agree with you. His NXT run, especially that one main event he had with Johnny Gargano,
was absolute
fire.
Yep.
Speaking of doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
but like you said, you know, he came over, had his run with AEW. Then obviously I feel like they took the money, probably a little bit more money. They went back and then they were just lost in the mix. And the only reason they are lost in the mix is because where they came from. Let's be honest. Like, they had endless bank accounts at TKO, and they said, hey, look, yeah, we'll take you back. You know, we don't want you over there. And it worked out well for Andrade, but obviously, like, look at Tommy End, Malachi. Yep. He's shit out of luck.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with him, to be honest.
I don't want to see him back in AEW.
I don't either. I think he has to go out and prove himself first.
Now, I don't want to see Malachi Black, but do you want to see Tommy End? Bald Tommy End? I mean,
it's nothing in a character. I just, you know, I saw that interview with MJF and Ariel Helwani, and when your top guy doesn't want him around and in your locker room supposedly getting along better than it ever has, I don't think you want to mess with that. Well, unless he's like, I will play ball this time, you know, I got nothing else. No, I don't know.
But. Well, it's like, just to speak to what Shep's saying, do I want to see Tommy End or Malachi? 100%. I would love to see him over here. Like, I was a huge Malachi guy. Like, we had a commercial we would run on our show every week about Tony Khan burying House of Black. It's like, dude, put him in a major storyline. And now hindsight, I'm like, maybe Tony Khan wasn't the problem here. And MJF spoke to that in the Ariel interview. And I'm like, dude, I want you there if you kind of do the Andrade thing. Like, I'm here to be what you want me to be. I'm totally giving myself over to the booking, because we talked about this, I think, on maybe the last show, Sneed, where it's like, this guy has everything. The package, the yeah. look, the vibe, the entrance. The fans loved him. They had a specialized entrance in AEW that they made for him. I feel like they had a lot of things that they planned for him. Even, I don't know if you guys remember when they had that trios match with the Elite when they were doing the trios titles. And there was a moment in that match where it was just Malakai and Kenny Omega face to face. And it was almost like a little bit of a tease of like, do you fans want, would you like to see this? And I feel like that was one of those things of Tony putting it out there to see how the crowd responded. And in my opinion, he did have big ideas. And I just don't think Malakai plays ball. And I think it's across both companies. If he would play ball, man, I think he could be such an incredible talent to have. Could you imagine him being a major storyline against Will Ospreay for the world title? Take an L, come in, eat an L, let Ospreay beat you. But the 6 week buildup to them facing off could be incredible. But it's like, Tony can't have faith in this guy because he's proven himself to be hard to deal with.
Yeah, 100%. He would, I mean, his in-ring talent, you cannot complain about.
It's incredible.
But obviously there's more to it in this business. And if you, like you said, if you can't play ball, then there's a lot of things they can't deal with you. You know, move on to the next, you know. Hey, we have 50 guys here in AEW. We have 50 guys here in the Fed. You definitely are in the top 100, but if you can't get out of your own way, you know, go wrestle for GCW, go wrestle for Hog. We don't care.
Yeah, I mean, at one point when they first brought him over and, you know, he came in, lights go out, lights come back on, he kicks Arn Anderson's head off, you know. I mean, we were so locked in on that. And I'm thinking, like, I know Tony Khan doesn't want to play the spooky stuff that much, but I'm sitting here thinking, like, dude, AEW has their Undertaker if they want to go that route. Like, talking about, you know, the Fed having 50 and AEW having 50, for my money, like, as far as just the package, House of Black and Malakai Black, that was a top five look. Like, fans gravitated towards the vibe and the tone and the look of those guys. And something was just lost in translation behind the scenes that I think has fans like us asking, what went on? Did Tony misbook them? Was it Malakai being difficult? And I think we'll always kind of have those discussions.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more with what you guys were saying there. And speaking of House of Black a little bit, and we've been positive so far about everything in Grand Slam we've covered, but I'm going to bring something up that I think's going to be more of a negative spin.
I know where you're going. I know where you're going.
Because there was a former member of the House of Black that is got some new gold around his waist, and that's Trio's gold, as Brody King, Bandido, and Hangman Adam Page are the new Trios champions after the Demand were the Trios champions for 2-3 weeks. So we were hot shot in the belt yet again. Was it 7 days?
I can't even believe it was 7 days.
We're hot potatoing these titles so often, I could give two shits about them. And you bring back one of your biggest stars on a random collision, even though it was in his home state in Virginia, Hangman Adam Page. And then this is what we're doing with them. We're throwing them into trios with a tag team. So you got an established tag team with a big star, and we're just going to try to make it work. And now they won gold. I hate everything about it. I like all three guys. Hate this to no end.
I hate it. Well, let's back up. Hold on. first of all, I don't, you know me, I'm not a demand fan. I'm not a Ricochet fan. I think his voice is nails on a chalkboard to me. I've said that for years. In-ring work, amazing. Just shut the fuck up. But you took, like, you made a comment there, Tanner. You've said this 2 weeks in a row. He's one of the biggest stars. And I'm not disagreeing with you, but can you put him in that category when he took himself out of the main event title picture for the rest of his life? So what do you, I mean, yes, I know we're making fun of him. We just threw him in here. Here's some gold because you can't have anything else. But he did that to himself.
But it's not even that, Shep. For me, it's like he could have went after the TNT title. I'd been all right with that. But the trios?
No, because hold on. We're using the TNT title. We're using that to elevate those guys to the main event picture. Right? Tell me, we've already talked about Fletcher. Fletcher's going to be main event soon. If not, yes, he already should be. So you can't put him in that, because if you put the TNT title, that elevates these guys. We're putting that on the younger talent to elevate them. You can't elevate him because he can't go nowhere.
But yeah, what do we do? Continental Cup. That's where he should have gone.
Yeah.
He should have been in the Continental Cup.
That's a good pull.
That would have been better, Steve, than what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bad and the ugly, having trios titles. What horse shit, man.
Yeah, I'm so sick of these titles. Like, get rid of them. Like, dude, you're not them. They've never been used well since they came into the company. And I know you guys on your show the other day went over all the champions and the length of their reigns. I couldn't believe how many different teams have held these titles.
Oh, it's insane.
Well, the problem I have the most with the trios titles is they have enough teams under the Tony Khan banner. I'm going across ROH and AEW. They have enough tag teams and trios teams where they could totally have separate divisions where you never had to double dip and put tag teams in your trios and pull singles guys. They could have a kick-ass trio scene, tell stories in there, and do phenomenal work, but they constantly pull in these guys like Hangman. And, you know, even when they had Samoa Joe and the Ops in there, when Joe was a champion at the time, I'm like, what are we doing? It really, like, the trios belts really just feel like kind of, I think it's Tony Khan sowing his New Japan oats a little bit, because they do a lot of that in New Japan with the multi-team tag teams like that. And it just seems like accoutrement, like it's an accessory to another story. So, you know, you can, oh, he also is in the Trios Champions. My biggest issue, and you hit the nail on the head, Tanner, when you laid this all out, you bring back a guy who was in a major storyline. He is the guy a year ago who toppled the reign of the Death Riders. When we were all wondering, is the belt going to be in the briefcase? He had that. And then prior to that, he had that epic feud with Swerve. And then he goes away. And we talk about this all the time on the show, where in wrestling, you have very little chances to have great returns of your top guys, because, you know, it either has to be an injury or something where they're out for a substantial amount of time, and you can utilize that return as a good story pop, you know, where fans are like, holy shit, he's back. They trot him out, they get on social media and put a Hangman returns graphic out for the following night's Collision. He comes out, he says what I thought was a pretty piss poor promo, and then he's gone for two more weeks, and then he comes back out kind of haphazardly, and now he's a trios champion. I'm like, you wasted his time away and his return to come and do this. Like, what are you doing, Tony? Get rid of these belts.
Yep. If you would have told me last year after he defeated Moxley at All In, that fast forward a year at All In and he was going to be in the trios title scene, I wouldn't have believed
it. Is this what he's doing at All In?
Yeah. This what?
Yeah.
I assume it is. I mean, because we're 3 weeks till.
Because if we're looking at just the way they brought him back and he comes out on Collision, he gives that promo where he's talking about, I'm going to go after all the other titles, right? I'm thinking, like, damn, a Cal Fletcher match for the International would be pretty sweet, you know, or even him and Kevin Knight. Like, that would be a fun match. You throw him in this.
Yep.
I don't know. I have always say, like, they have something ready-made on a platter for Hangman that would be so badass, and the fans would gravitate towards it so much. But I always say, I don't think Tony Khan has the balls for these type of stories. The story to me is the journey back to him getting the right to challenge for that title again. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be he wants it. I always said, like, once they took that away from him, like they did with Cody, which I thought was a mistake back in the day. Mm-hmm. But now that they did it again with Hangman, like, you cannot have him live to that stipulation. The thing you have to with AEW, like, stips usually stand. It's not like the Fed where they'll throw a stip out and break it the next week. So you have to make it make sense for the AEW sickos to buy in. But the way I always saw it after that, it's like, dude, you have to put him in feuds with top guys where it's the fans that are begging him, please go after the right to be able to challenge for a world title again. Almost like a Bryan Danielson, the Daniel Bryan yes movement, where it's like you get this undeniable fan support where everyone from a fan perspective is begging him, please try and get your right to challenge again, and then put the stip on the line against an MJF where he wins the right to challenge again. He is, up until this return, I do think Hangman is like a main character in the company, but if you keep him on this track of never being able to challenge, it's going to hurt him long term.
So let me, and I think this is maybe Tony Khan's downfall, because I'm guessing this was a idea pitched to him from Hangman. Because in Tony's mind, you're like, why would you want to get this guy out of the main event spotlight? But maybe that's a little bit of his downfall, because the freedom he gives these guys.
It's true.
And Hangman pitched it, and Tony Khan's like, hey, look, if that's what you want to do, you know, let's rock and roll. And it took one of his top five stars out of the world title picture.
I mean, it's like, look at Omega, you know. Omega not having that belt for, what was it, 5 years? You know, like, he was out he didn't have that world title for a long time. One of the top guys in the business as far as bell to bell. I think you're onto something, Shep, because I think he gives a little too much freedom to these guys sometimes, and then he has to stick to these stips that are created. But if you take this, like, say 10 years into the future, it's going to hurt his legacy. He should be a multi-time. The way I see it, MJF and him are trading this world title several times. They are the guys. And Ospreay, obviously.
Sean Martin here on YouTube says, Hangman supposedly has a pinched nerve in his neck. If that is true, having two partners that can handle 2/3 of the match seems like the right way to use him right now.
If that is true, and I'm Tony Khan, I let him rest. I don't bring him back. I'm like, dude, sit on the shelf, rest up, and when you're 100%, then come back. Don't come back too soon with a pinched nerve.
Nope. Yeah.
Not for the trios titles.
No.
Hangman's got to be, what, his early 30s?
Yeah, I think he's like 33, 34, somewhere in there.
Yeah. He's got a long way to go. Yep. Long way to go.
Yeah, I could care less about these trios titles. That's where I'm at with these, and unfortunately, on the women's side, that's where I'm at with the tag belts.
Yeah, same.
I've hated the booking with those. So,
what's like the Brawling Birds? I mean, you know, they heated them up with all these cool vignettes, and we were kind of pumped to see them. And then they had a couple of squash matches, and then they started doing singles matches. And I'm like, and now they're coming back, and I think it's a foregone conclusion they're going to take those titles at Wembley, but. Sure. Yeah, I'm with you, man. The same issue they have with the tag titles is the same issue they have with the trios titles, is they have the talent to create a tag division, but they keep double dipping and pulling people into singles matches. I'm like, dude, just lock in with who's your tag teams, who's your singles competitors, and stop double dipping.
Yep. Double dip's never good. Like double champions are never good.
I hate those too.
Yep. You get too many intertwined storylines and it takes away from titles. Yeah. That's one thing I wish Tony would tighten the screws up on, but that's a huge flaw of his, in my opinion, is the booking of those divisions.
Did any of you guys spy, since we're talking about women's tag team, did any of you guys catch Joey Janela's 20-year anniversary on GCW on Thursday?
I did not.
Mm-mm. No.
So he closed the show. Obviously, he's working with Megan Bain in the main event, his girlfriend. And when it was all said and done, he cut a promo saying that only is she the best female wrestler out there. If Tony Khan would let her work with males, she would be one of the top overall talents. And I know he's trying to put her over because he's trying to get a little snooky later on in the night.
Yeah.
But I was kind of taken back. And not that I enjoy GCW because of some of the comedy they do, some of the hardcore stuff they do. I'm not a big gory guy, but to do a show and then let this guy have the mic and him say that kind of stuff, I was really taken back. And I enjoy Joey Janela. I think he's nuts. But for him to say if Tony Khan would let her work with male talent,
nobody wants to see that.
No. Even if it's true, even if it's true, I don't want to see that. I don't want to muddy up the waters.
Exactly. Ugh.
And I know in GCW they do a lot of male versus female talent, and that works for them. It has their niche audience. You know, the niche dumbasses that it might pay $4.99 for a pay-per-view because they're bored on a Thursday night right here. But I don't know. I was really taken back by when he said that. Like, cause
him putting over his girl, I think.
Yeah.
He
was passionate about it. He was doing it. And I'm like, okay, A, he's really passionate. B, he's trying to get a little snooky later. I don't know.
I will say, though, like, I am very, very high on Megan Bain. I don't think she's even scratched the surface of what she's capable of in AEW. I loved the fact that Tony Khan put her in a main event spot with, not main event, but like world title storyline with Tony Storm at the height of her run. I love that. It did kind of bum me out because I thought, holy shit, now we have a big bad heel in the women's division that we can lean on. And the fact that they've kind of like, it feels like a downgrade that they put her down into the tag scene. Cause I think she should be mixing it up with all of the women in the top, the Mercedes. Like, I want to see Megan Bain Mercedes. I want to see all of that right now.
I think the only reason you haven't seen that, and obviously it's not her in ring work, it's because I don't think she can talk.
That's it. She suffers there a little bit.
Yeah.
Got a good question and comment here from Westa Jin on YouTube. How do you feel about Darby versus Kevin Knight at All In? On one hand, I feel like it seems obvious that Darby is winning. On the other hand, Knight could retain and Speedball wins at All Out. And he continues it just to beef up the All Out card, but it helps combat the World's Collide show, which is going to be on the same day, 15 minutes away from where they're at. Plus, CM Punk is more than likely going to be there. It's not officially announced yet that Darby's going to be against Kevin Knight, but you're probably right. Kevin Knight does defend the TNT title this upcoming Wednesday on Dynamite against Chris Jericho. That was announced last night on Collision, so kind of interesting there. How do you guys feel about what he was asking there?
Well, I feel like so Darby made the call out for the All In match. He wants it to be Falls Count Anywhere at All In, right? Was that
right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be an absolute banger match. I mean, Falls Count Anywhere at Wembley with Darby, it's going to be insane. I don't know who wins that though. Right now, I don't know who wins that.
and has the speedball feud. I know Tony can heat up an old history quicker than anyone for a feud. And I don't think the speedball Kevin Knight, I don't think they've touched what they should have done. I think that have been,
yeah.
Darby kind of muddied that up when he came into the Kevin Knight scene, but I mean, the match of Kevin Knight and Darby at All In, that is a mid-card match on a pay-per-view like that, that you definitely, all your eyes will be on it. I don't know if I would want to see speed, like, has the speedball beating Kevin Knight for that title left the station? It feels a little cold for me right now for him to come in a couple weeks later at All Out and take the title. Like, you would need to do a little more with them storyline wise for me to buy in that that's who I want to see taken off of him.
I agree. I think that match at All In will be just high spots everywhere.
Yep.
If it's not Darby doing something stupid that we're used to Darby doing, it's Kevin Knight using his athleticism to trump him on a high spot. Actually, that might be one of those middle of the card matches that could almost steal the show.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
For sure. Yeah.
And I think it's what, I don't know what you guys think about this, but you know, there's a push right now, obviously, of, you know, Kyle Fletcher and Kevin Knight are kind of like being coronated for the next main event guys. When I think Kyle Fletcher should enter that scene quicker than Kevin Knight.
Agreed.
I think we have all the time in the world with Kevin Knight. There's enough guys in that main event scene. I don't like him injecting himself in world title shots and shit. I'm kind of over that. I would like him to retain against Darby. If, you know, I think it helps him as a heel. He still needs to find his voice a little bit. I think being with Don Callis is beneficial to him. I hope they don't try and get him kicked out of Callis family. I think I would just like to see him ride with that TNT title, be a despicable heel, have Don do a lot of the heavy lifting, give him opportunities to do kind of guest commentary. The best he ever talked was when they're giving him those moments on commentary to just kind of chime in. He's finding his voice. He'll get better. Let him be the guy that the fans want to see get beat. Like, don't do a quick title change. Let him run with that TNT title for a minute and get that heat that kind of Moxley had when he was the world champion. I feel like fans got to a point, it's like, somebody please beat this guy. I want to feel that with Kevin Knight.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And I don't need Darby being the TNT tip champ after he was just the world champ earlier this year.
Yeah,
I don't need that.
You talk about the best thing he was doing on commentary. I agree with that. Then I look at the female side, and I might be a little bit bitter here because I think it cost me the KOP kicking out championship. But I was really shocked when Tekla took the women's title, and I was, you know, her backstage vignettes when she first got the title, I felt like she was reading them off a teleprompter, and she might have been. And then she struggled in the ring, but all of a sudden, at the end of her run, they were putting her on commentary, and she was absolute gold.
Yep.
Absolute gold. She was trending, in my opinion, and really running with it. And then they took the fucking belt off of her, and it cost me the title. But I mean, might be a little bit bitter in the long run, but
I'm bitter there too, man. Like, I hate this Willow situation going on in the company right now. I have so many problems with that. Like, many
and problems. I think we all agree she's dropping it at Wembley, and Mercedes is going to walk out of there as the champ. So.
And it makes no sense to me, because the story that you had on your plate was Mercedes was, she couldn't win that belt. She's won every belt, but the big belt she couldn't win. That was the story that we were being fed with Mercedes, with her stuff with Toni Storm, all of that. So you have a woman who found her voice, and I thought she became very entertaining in Tekla. And she's being kind of dominant. You know, Tony's gone, so they kind of thrust this responsibility on her. And I thought she stepped up to the plate, and she became one of those bad guys that, you want to see beaten. And I know it's a tricky spot to be in because Mercedes is a heel, Tekla's a heel, but I thought they could have navigated that. And it would be so much more impressive for her to win her first world title over a woman who had held that belt a while, instead of having her drop it to Willow. Willow's going to have like a 30-day plus reign, and then she drops it. I hated that. And the way they've, you know, Willow went down with an injury, and then they create this tournament for her TBS title. The tournament doesn't even end before she comes back before that tournament even ends and enters the world title and wins it. I'm like, what are we doing? This is a clusterfuck.
And the lady who won the title in the tournament has already dropped it.
Exactly.
Right. It's just a mess. Just
it's a mess. Complete mess.
Yep.
The women's division. Yep. I mean, I am a huge Toni Storm mark. So me maybe too. I'm a little bitter from that, her being gone on the shelf, but I think they've been suffering because not only she stepped away and then Mercedes was gone for a minute. And they were struggling, dude.
It was bad. Nobody stepped up besides Tekla. In my opinion, nobody else stepped up.
Yeah.
In their absence.
So is it, I don't know if this girl can hold the candle to like what a Toni Storm could do in the ring. Is it time to reach out and bring back the DMD?
I've been waiting for that.
You know, and Paul wanted me to ask this since he wasn't going to be on.
Who's Paul?
You know, the workhorse, so-called workhorse of the podcast.
Yeah, all I see is this picture up in my left corner, and there's some big old goofy guy standing between you and I and the logo. Is that Paul?
Oh, no, it's not. Okay. But,
I didn't know you could take him out of there like that. That's awesome.
That's hilarious.
That was good.
I'll hear about that one later, but that's all good. He wanted me to ask, with the upcoming Rebel show, the Rebel's Heart show, I think it's on September 9th? Something like that. September 9th, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
He expects Britt to be there. So he said, will we see Britt Baker on that show? Or maybe not part of a match, part of the show. He wanted us to discuss what we think about that.
I know Britt's really close with Rebel, and she's been in a lot of the videos with the Ice Bucket Challenge. And yes, Tanner, my shirt's on the way. I will do that. I'm waiting for the shirt to get here first.
Hey, I nominate all three of you guys, so...
We addressed it on there. We're gonna
we gotta do it.
It's all good. I'm doing mine in a thong.
Oh Jesus.
I think mine's just gonna be mosaiced out. So take that for what I don't know. Yeah, take it for what you want.
but I think she will be on that show just because her and Rebel are that close. And if all whatever's going on with her and her contract and whatever, I think they will all put that aside and she'll be on that show. But I think she's ready for a return. So what better place than 2 weeks before that show to show up in Wembley?
That's what I was going to say. I think it's a mistake if, as much as like the Rebel situation, like she has to be there and it's a big moment for her to come back. I want to see her come back before that. There's something that doesn't sit right with me if she just comes for that. Yep. Because then it's like, then we're still kind of wondering, like, does she just come back for that? Or is she back with the company full time? Like, I think a big DMD return at All In, get her back on the show in a big, big way at the biggest show of the year. And then she's there so she can come out and be a proper addition to the Rebel Heart.
Yep. Yep. If she doesn't show up at all the next few weeks surrounding that show, I don't think we ever see her in AEW again.
Now, if she's not at the Rebel Heart show, she's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Then I'm going to have to find a new dentist.
Yeah.
Mama Wayne gets kind of pissed when I go to the dentist all the time.
I'm sure she does. At least you got your stepson on the right track. He should be the next ROH champion. He would be if I had the pencil. So
we've been talking a lot.
Yeah.
Around the dinner table, you know, we have dinner every night. Uh-huh. Five o'clock dinner.
There you go. Oh, you're one of the early eaters, huh? 5 o'clock?
I'm old.
Yeah, you are old. That's true. That's true. The Continental Cup, we saw it kick off last night on Collision. Two of the outcomes, I think, were pretty predictable. And Cesaro winning and Orange Cassidy winning. The third, which they made event of the show, which I was glad to see, Eddie Kingston, Jake Doyle, that was kind of a toss-up, I thought, going into the match. And we saw Eddie Kingston come out victorious in his first match on AEW in quite some time. A lot of the IWC did not like that result. What'd you guys think?
Fuck the IWC. I hate the IWC. I'm an Eddie Kingston fan. You know that. Going into this match, I was like, shit, I don't want to see Eddie Kingston take an L on national television, but he pulled it out and I loved it. Eddie Kingston is a hidden treasure in my opinion. So the more I see him on Collision, Dynamite, whatever, the more I'm going to enjoy the show. So I love that win over Jack Doyle. Jack Doyle.
Jake. Great. Jake.
Jake, Jack, fuck, it's all same thing. I enjoy him, Jake something, right?
Yeah, there you go.
I enjoy him. He's a hell of an in-ring talent. He's a big son of a buck. But I thought he took Eddie Kingston to the limit, and Eddie Kingston won. And I thoroughly, you know, it's really hard for me to say I enjoyed something on Collision.
I thought Collision was very solid last night. Yeah. Honest to God, I thought it was good.
Because, you know, that's really hard to follow what you saw on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard to follow. And then you had a really entertaining Collision.
Yeah.
And that's a lot coming for me. But, yeah, obviously I marked out Freddie Kingston and enjoy him.
Well, it helps when they do Collision actually live and they do it somewhere where they don't tape Dynamite. Like it was in Colorado Springs last night. This is your one show. You know, that really helps with the crowd.
Collisions are so much better when they're their own independent show. When it's live and it's only Collision, when you're recording 2 hours of Dynamite, an hour of Ring of Honor, and then you do 2 hours or whatever of Collision after, dude, it's just a marathon.
And the crowd, you feel it in the crowd. Like when they tape Collision after Dynamite, you feel it in the crowd. There's no energy.
Yeah. And Shep Paul and I will experience that next month in Fishers, Indiana. They're doing Dynamite live and then Collision taped right after. So it's gonna be a long night.
I might be drunk by the time Collision's over. I will be.
Might? I was going to say might.
See, we have an independent Collision coming here. It's just a live Collision in September.
So the crowd will be hot.
I love that. Yeah.
And you know one thing I've enjoyed about Collision, and I didn't think I needed this, Paul White's been a nice addition to the commentary team.
100%. I've enjoyed Paul White a lot.
Yeah.
I was pumped last night when I saw it was – Paul, Nigel, and Tony. Like,
yep, that's a great trio.
Nigel's
oh, dude, so good.
He's so good. Yeah. He's so good.
AEW has an abundance of riches when it comes to commentators.
100%. All of their iterations, even when they pull in Ian Riccaboni. He's solid too.
Yep. I mean, that's
speaking to the Eddie Kingston Jake Doyle situation. I think it in our picks league, Sneed had Jake Doyle in there. And I thought it was the closest one of the three matches, but I will say I thought they would give it to Eddie just because Eddie's history with the cup, the Continental. That's where I was like, there's a little history there. He was the guy who held, what did he hold, like three titles when he won it the first time?
Yeah, the New Japan World, the ROH World title, and then the Continental title. Yeah.
So I kind of thought they would like give a little slice of history there. I will say, though, dude, when him, Ortiz, and Mance Warner have doing trios stuff, I've been digging that. That speaks to the whole trios thing. It's like, dude, you have teams that I would totally get behind having those belts and tell stories independent of all your other titles. Cause I really like the combo of Ortiz, Eddie as a tag team. And then they throw Mance Warner in the mix. Huge, huge fan of the Southern Psychopath, Mance Warner.
He's nuts.
Love that guy.
Yeah.
And I love how they're using her, his wife too. Yeah. It's starting to get in the mix a little bit. Yep. ROH. So that's fun.
To be fair, I think one of the only reasons I picked Jake was to gain 2 points. I honestly thought Kingston was going to win, but it was a tactic to gain 2 points. But
yeah, man, you got to do what you got to do, man.
Gotta take those chances.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got a comment here about the women's division. One thing about Mercedes and Willow is that, injury aside, someone was going to have a month-long reign. It makes me wonder, if Willow won the Owen and then won the title, would she have vacated the TBS?
Yeah, there's a lot of shenanigans there where me and Snead aren't fully bought in that she was totally injured there. I think there was a little bit of booking. They had to do a couple things to get out of a problem, like he mentioned in the comment. Like that would have been an issue if she just held the title and went into a world title situation.
Wasn't it a shoulder injury? A shoulder injury?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's gone, 3.5-4 weeks, and then she's back?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to hurt your shoulder, you either tear your rotator cuff, which you're out 6 months, or you do the Brie Bella where you break your clavicle or whatever the hell it was, and you're out for a year. So
yeah.
Other than that, that's your shoulder.
Yeah, the timetable on
Dr. Shep's
a little bit, just a little bit fishy to me, man. To be back, to vacate a title and then have a tournament and be back before the tournament's over.
And there's the whole thing of, like, she drops this title and she comes back so quick and she doesn't even want to sniff the title that she had to give up when she comes back. It just seemed like a booking tactic to throw her into the world title picture because they lacked main event women at the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's definitely sounds fishy to me as well.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things behind the scenes that we don't know about that had implications on Redemption.
Yep.
And that's why it was a fine pay-per-view, but that's why the build was a little wonky. I think there was a lot of other plans that got shifted. So
that's another thing, speaking to what Shep said earlier when he said Tony Khan gives talent a little more freedom. And I think this is a little different because, if you believe the reports, MJF was a little banged up and MJF came to Tony and was like, let's have me drop it at beach break. I mean, he allowed him, and I think it's smart. Like, you didn't want him to go banged up and then he misses All In. But at the same time, like, I think it was pretty understood Kenny was going to take that title at Redemption, and something happened and it threw a wrench. And I think that's why Hangman came back at Collision. I think a lot of that was, I mean, imagine Redemption if Kenny wins the title in Montreal, Hangman comes out at the end of that. We're looking at a whole different landscape, and a lot of the things we're bitching and moaning about are off the table. So I think the Redemption booking of how that went down, I think we're looking at a totally different pay-per-view if MJF wrestled at Redemption.
You're probably right. Absolutely.
Yep. But the build All In is going to be fun. I mean, we got 3 more weeks, and we knew the card looks great so far. I mean, we got a dream tag match, Copen Cage versus the Bucks. We got Ospreay, Omega. We got Willow, Mercedes. We're probably going to have Kevin Knight and Darby, assuming Jericho doesn't take the title off Kevin Knight, but that would be a shocker. Am I forgetting any other matches that are official? We got the Battle Royal. Am I forgetting anything else that's official? No.
Are we going to get MJF, and are you talking about MJF, Andrade, and the Gauntlet?
Yeah. Battle Royal. Yeah, the Gauntlet. Yeah.
I got a quick question for you guys, because I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this. Daybreak, New Day, whatever you want to call them in AEW. We talk about this all the time on our show. So right now, we've got Cage and Cope, and we've got the Young Bucks, which is a dream match in and of itself. Do you think there is a world where somehow, some way, Daybreak finds themselves in that match? And do you think if that is the case, will that happen prior to All In to set it up? Or is it kind of the Hardys at Mania 33 when New Day comes out and says there's another team injecting themselves into this match and the Hardys walk out? Could we see like a massive, shocking surprise angle? And could it even work for Daybreak, if that's their name, coming out at All In and making that a triple threat? Is that possible?
If it's going to be a triple threat and it's going to be a TLC match, there's only one tag team that makes sense, and that's FTR. And I know I'm an FTR mark, but
I am too.
FTR, Cajun Cope, and the Bucks is honestly gotta be on FTR's bucket list. He's taking a break right now. I know he's posting all this shit about his tequila, which I still have not done the tequila tasting yet, Tanner. We got
to. I was going to ask if you opened it yet.
No, no, it's still sealed. It's okay. It's over there. But anyways, we got to do the tasting next week. But it's got to be then. It's got to be now. Would I love the New Day to come in? Absolutely. But I don't think they fit in that just yet. I want the New Day to come in and wrestle Motor City Machine Guns. I want those guys to go at each other because they were together, but never had a feud. You know, two legendary tag teams. They were together, and my ass is just let them go, right?
See, I want to see Motor City Machine Guns against FTR, and I want to see I want to see Daybreak or whatever they call themselves. I think we're going to get just Cope and Cage versus the Bucks, but I think Daybreak, if that's what they're going to call themselves, it still sounds weird to me, but it's all right. I think they make their debut at All In probably after the match, though. I don't know.
Why don't you want FTR in there? Hater.
I'm not an FTR.
I think that match is there, though. I think that's a match you could pull out at WrestleDream, because I do think a TLC match with FTR, Cage and Cope, and Bucks, that has to happen before the year is out.
And I'm not being rude, but there's only one or two TLC matches left in Cage and Cope's career.
One. I wouldn't say they're not two. There's one.
So why not have it on your biggest stage?
Yeah, well, that's true. Remember I was trying to say make it like five teams if you're going to do it at one time and just make it incredible. But
okay, I'm not convinced in the next 3 weeks we don't see, because Motor City Machine Guns, I mean, they debuted on Collision. They're kind of making it their home, and that is the home of FTR.
Yep.
And I wouldn't be shocked if in the next 3 weeks FTR comes out and attacks them and we get Motor City and FTR at All In. I wouldn't be shocked by that.
Take my money. Yep. I'd be okay with that as well.
Yep. What do you think, Sneed? You've booked me, and you've kind of talked about this with Daybreak coming out. You think they can just come out at All In, right? I'm still kind of on the fence with this shit.
I mean, I think they could. I think it's just for the pop, though. Like, I honestly think that they would get a major pop if they just showed up and were interjected into this match.
It would be huge.
I just think, you know, on that stage with those, because arguably they're the absolute hottest free agents that's out there right now. I mean, it's pretty much a guarantee we're getting them in AEW. I think we all know that's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just keep thinking back to them bringing out the Hardys at Mania and the pop that got. And like, I think we even talked about it on the show where, you know, something happens where they make it a triple threat, but FTR comes out and FTR says, you know, the crowd's hot and like pops for FTR, but FTR is like, it's not us.
Yeah, and then something,
they bring out Daybreak.
I know Austin Creed is one of the names. What's Kofi's?
I think it's just Kofi, I believe.
Kofi.
He'll just go by Kofi.
Yeah.
Okay.
What question? If that were to happen, And Daybreak was to just somehow, either by their own choice or Tony Khan makes an announcement through Shivani or whatever happens, and they find themselves in a triple threat match at All In. Say they just hotshot this shit and throw the belts on Daybreak in their debut. Would you guys be upset? How would the sickos respond to that?
I'd understand it from a business move because these guys are going to draw eyeballs and they're going to bring AEW new fans. They're that popular in the wrestling world. And I think the AEW sickos would be more accepting of it now that we've seen that happen when Ciampa came in with the TNT title.
Yep.
If that hadn't happened, maybe then they kind of, their heads explode. But I think these two guys are so universally liked by fans across the board. I think a lot of sickos wouldn't have a problem with it. I wouldn't have a problem with it.
You know, I agree with that, but I'll play devil's advocate.
Fair.
You bring them in and do that, they're going to sell a shit ton of merch. You're doing it for a business standpoint. Yep. But, you know, you look at a sicko that wants to hear the storyline and everything, and you're like, wait a minute. You know, you built FTR, you built the Bucks, you know, you built Cage and Cope, and all of a sudden, all this feud you build up, you just throw the shit out the window. You know, are you doing it for a quick buck? Absolutely, because it's a business. We got to make money. I would say, not my first choice. I don't hate it, but not my first choice.
I get that too. Yeah, I totally get that. More. But I do think there's something like you bring them in. And a big question too is like, how we're not going to hear them talk at All In if they come out there. Like, what, how do they respond? Are they heels? Are they the outsiders that come in and say, hey, we took your belts? I mean, if that leads into a Young Bucks Daybreak feud heading into All Out or Wrestle Dream or Full Gear, whatever, and you've got Motor City and FTR in the mix too with Cage and Cope, I mean, there is a lot of feuds and storylines within that collection of tag teams that could carry you into next year's All In if done correctly. Like,
and I know you talked about the Hardy pop earlier, which was maybe one of the greatest pops of all time. We don't know what the new Daybreak music's gonna be, so this music could play and everybody's gonna like, what the hell is this? And I know once Kofi and Creed walk through the curtain, then okay, yeah, now we get it, we can cheer. But I mean, the pop starts when the music hits.
And the graphic comes up like Motor City Machine Guns in Detroit, because everybody's like, "What the hell's this?" And then it popped up.
What if they pull a Powerhouse Hobbs and have New Day come up on the Contron, as we like to call it, and then it shatters into Daybreak. People would lose their minds.
Yeah. I thought the same thing when you said that.
Yeah, that worked though.
Yeah, it did work.
Yeah,
one of the few things that works over there.
Yeah, not many.
It's just what they do. What they do. What they do.
It's all part of the show. Just watch the show.
Enjoy the show, man.
He makes it too easy. Yeah. He makes it too easy.
It's a new era. It's a new era.
But we are on the road to All In. It's going to be a fun next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Can't wait. And once again, we want to thank you guys for joining us tonight, fellas. Sneed and Chad from the Turnbuckle Tavern. And everybody know. And we'll do this again for sure. Maybe when the workhorse is available, we can have a 5-man show. Maybe we'll make it 6-man. Maybe Hawk comes on.
Yeah.
Except. Hold on.
we like to keep him locked away.
That's fair. That's fair. But thanks for
having us, man. I love the show. I listen every week. I look forward to hearing your guys' banter on AEW. And I find myself, like, more often than not, agreeing with everything you guys. Sometimes I'm like, we share the same brain. And it makes me feel better because sometimes I feel like I get down on the company with, like, the Trios titles. And then I come and I listen to you guys, and you're complaining about the same things we complain about. And you're showering praise on the same thing. So, You guys are kind of our brothers from another in the AEW sicko world.
Love that. And tell everybody where they can find you guys.
Yeah, man, you can head over. We have our Patreon. It's patreon.com/theTurnbuckleTavern. You can join us. It's $2.99 a month. You get all the videos, and then you get access to our private Facebook group where you can join the Picks League. We have the Picks League going on right now where Tanner is absolutely just running away with it.
Yeah, he's whipping all of our asses
ship?
Right
you
now.
You hear that, Ship?
Yeah, he's
I have the book they call face, so sorry.
Well, I think Chad didn't have it either. I think he just got it for the
I made a fake account just to get it.
patreon.com/theTurnbuckleTavern. You can get prowrestlingtees.com/tavern. And then Apple and Spotify, you can find us. We have us, we do have a couple of other shows. Ace is holding it down with Wrestling Tonight. And then we have Jay Bugs and Marco doing our Fed work over there with Raw Down.
So. Yeah, they talk all the Fed, so we don't have to. I don't think anyone would want to listen to us talk about the Fed for 2 hours. But yeah, Apple and Spotify, if you want to just be cheap like I am and not shell out any money, we're on Apple and Spotify. We drop the flagship every Thursday, and we talk all AEW. So if you guys are AEW marks, and I'm sure you are if you're listening to KOP, check us out if you have a free minute.
And Chad, let all the movie buffs know where they can find your movie pod.
Yeah, me and Hawk have a movie podcast called Broken VCR. We talk one movie a week. A lot of old stuff. We're super nerds with that stuff. So if you like movies and you want to hear two assholes just kind of bitch and moan and talk about old movies, check it out. Broken VCR, Apple, Spotify.
So when you say old movies, we talking like 90s, 80s, or even older?
All the above, man. 60s, okay. 70s, 80s, 90s. We do new movies too. Like we went and saw Ice Cream Man, and we get on. And anything we go to the theater, we'll drop a bonus episode. But anything from 90s, 80s, 70s, 60s, all the above.
All right, I got to ask, what's your favorite movie of all time?
Man, that's a tough one, dude. It changes all the time. I love Pulp Fiction. I love Goodfellas, Shawshank Redemption, all the ones that normal people would talk about. But I would say knee jerk, probably Pulp Fiction. Love Pulp Fiction.
Okay. I'm going to be a big Casino fan. I love Casino.
Love Casino. Dude.
Love Casino.
So good. So good. Anything Scorsese, I'm a fan of.
There you go.
Hard to go wrong with that. And Chip, I'm going to let you do the outro this week since we're
close. Oh, Jesus. You just want me to fuck it up again, don't you? God damn it. All right. Everybody, thanks for listening tonight. If you want some merch, go to kickingoutshop.com. Get your main event Shep shirt. Get your KOP shirt Tanner's wearing over there. And then that dumbass has a Mountain Dew shirt. What's his name? Paul? Yeah, he's got a shirt too. But yeah, follow me on two social medias, X and Instagram at the Shep27. Follow Tanner at Tanner921.
Tanner Lee 92, but close enough.
Jesus Christ, I don't know. God, it's your fault.
Yeah, that's why anyways, I enjoy listening to you do this.
Yeah, I know. Hey, thanks for everybody listening. Follow those guys, Chad and Sneed at Buckle Tavern, Main Event Wrestling Network, we're a part of. Ton of good content over at Main Event, whether you like the Fed or you like AEW like us, or even if you like the indies, go over there to Main Event Wrestling Network. They have it all. For Chad, for Sneed, for Tanner, I am the Main Event Shep, and we will kick out another podcast.
This is where I say goodbye and good night.